Okay, people, without any, and I do mean any, preparation, I'm going to try and launch into a podcast thing. Some of you will know that for a decade more, occasionally, I've done something called the Universe Podcast, which was pretty tongue-in-cheek in lots of ways, I think, but also serious about sport or music or politics, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I'm going to make this one up just for the lols. Hilarious, but true. I've just walked up. This is going to sound very, very kind of middle class or whatever, but I live in West Wales, right, in the middle of nowhere, Pembrokeshire, and I've just walked up to the farm shop, which I do because it's about a mile, and if I do that, it feels like I'm justified in buying a dodgy cake or something. It's a lovely little place. But yeah, it has got that slightly expensive vibe thing going, but I'm happy to support it. And in doing that, that's all, you know, the perambulation is sort of for some air, but also a bit of philosophical headspace and all that stuff, right? So anyway, I've just walked there and back, and I've sat down and plonked this in front of me, my ancient iPhone, as a bit of a challenge and a test, and I'm going to talk about and invite you to come back to me, please, 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 about Man United and City. Again, some of you will know I do have a family connection to United, but I am, like everybody else in the universe, I can hear you already saying, I am a part-time United supporter, but love the game, not just football, but yeah, I'm not entirely partisan, but of course I wanted them to do well. And therefore, I was quietly sort of thrilled to see them thrash City today. Bullet points, boom. Absolutely deserved 3-0, didn't they? Extraordinary in lots of ways. The turnaround, we can't call it that, but you know what I mean. The new dynasty. Not just Carrick, by the way. I really quite like the idea that Woodgate is in there. Again, those of you who are my generation will know that both of those guys, maybe Woodgate in particular, were exceptional and exceptionally cultured players in their early days. Yeah, they stood out for that. Woodgate played centre-half, plus or minus, and was magic, actually. Or, you know, he had a slightly... not troubled career, he had a great career in lots of ways, but he did have injuries. He could have been England's Beckenbauer, basically, that kind of thing. You know, I don't think it's hyperbolic, if that's even a word, to describe it that way. He was a tremendous player, gifted, intelligent, heads up, like Carrick. And I, as a purist, really like the idea that they're in there driving this vessel, even if it's only for a short period. Who knows? And I've got no great expectation about this yet. I think they'll be hilarious. There'll be lots of, you know, understandable excitement about what's happened today and where it might lead and how it's all transformed. Bloody blah. May not happen, okay? But yeah, it is kind of gratifying. Is that the right word? It feels quite nice. It feels quite good. It feels quite united in a way to have really bright, capable people. But people who get characters, obviously having played there, the intensity or the power of the intensity of the United fan base and the United way. Because there is some truth in that. It's romantic maybe, but there is some truth in that. The Paul Scholes stroke Keane vibe, the thrill, the fast pace, the high energy thing that is... or has been characteristic of United. They showed some of that today. And tactically, it was really interesting. And I'm pleased for them. Let's just throw back on that for a minute, because Amorim, right? Why didn't it happen for him? For me, I'm looking at the players maybe more than the manager, for all his alleged intransigence about formations. Just a bit of a joke that this bundle of Manchester United players could not really cope or adapt or play in a way that Amorim was really and clearly very passionate about. I think the players let him down, But bottom line, he didn't change it. He didn't drive it round the corner, all those corny old cliches. He just couldn't manage it. And whilst I blame the players much more than him, I really do, for that, clearly your job is to get topside. If you're the gaffer, one way or another, people did it in different ways. Amorim, yeah, unfortunately, I think, did not effect change. So, yeah, had to go. Anyway, on to this new generation, the same as the old generation. That change that we've seen today, and there was a change, again, to be fair to Amorim, I personally think that whilst United have been very mixed for the last 6 weeks or whatever, there's just been a bit more quality and confidence and maybe purpose about them on the ball, off the ball. No, they've been wildly inadequate and been caught out by very ordinary teams. But so, you know, maybe Amorim's been a touch unlucky, and there are players coming back now. Watched it on Sky, obviously, today, and the pundits made a bit of a point about the fact that the squad looked a bit closer to a Manchester United quality squad. I still wouldn't say it's that, but it was better. It looked better today with more depth and more genuine international quality. Plainly, United should have that. If we run through the team a bit, or just things that struck me, keeper is plainly doing pretty well. Previously, they've had clowns in there, guys who just, you know, for me, hilarious but true, it was obvious. They weren't good enough, didn't have the right temperament, could stop shots, but every Sunday league keeper can do that on a good day. So that is steadier, that's made a difference. Maguire, we could talk for days about Maguire, couldn't we? But old slabhead himself. Do you know what? I'm pleased to see him back in a way. Yes, of course, he's got his limitations, but I think there probably will always be a place for guys who've got great character, who plainly launch themselves into it. And actually, the guy can play. He's slowish. He will be found out. He's not as cultured or intelligent or able on the ball as some others who are playing in that position. So he's retro. He's definitely a retro centre-half, isn't he? But I would have him in there as a fit, you know, if he's fit. I think he does bring something to the game. Martinez is an interesting one, I think. I've gone on record just saying previously that all people being available, probably Martinez, Maguire and De Ligt all play, probably. And you could play them as a three with wide, you know, with a 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, whichever way you look at it. But lately, again, Martinez, whilst 50% of the time looking like quality, like experience, and I do like his toughness, actually, the slight anger, the slight fire in his belly thing. I think you do need some of that. You've got to be very careful with it. He brings all of that, but he's also just defended badly at key moments in recent games again. Yes, he's coming back. He's missed out on footy, but he's got to cut that out, and he must know it. I hope Carrick and co will and have pointed that out to him. He's got to play right to the top of his game, because if he does that, that mixture of kind of anger and comfort on the ball and heads up thing, Martinez does thread quite a lot of good passes. He can be a real plus. Elsewhere, today, Dorgu was probably man of the match, or pretty close to it. I'm still clear that the guy is a really pretty mediocre player, and up until about 3 weeks ago, I would be saying he's one of the obvious ones that is not really a United player, and I'm pretty much sticking to that. But obviously he played well today, and he, of course, the left wing thing and his athleticism that he can bring is decent, plus worked today, got a good goal. Happy to go on record as saying that, guilty as charged, I'm really old school on this, but I hate the whole thing about deliberately getting your body across to draw a foul, to draw some contact. and then flopping down. I thought the referee did pretty well today to wave away at least two obvious ones that Dorgu did. They were almost one after another. Do not like it. Think it's unnecessary. Think it's cheap. Don't think it's worthy of the club, but nearly every player in nearly every club does it. I accept that. It's absolutely rife in the game. I hate it. I think it's anti-sport. And again, I don't care how pompous that sounds, but I do. Why not, instead of getting your body across and flopping pathetically, why not shield the ball? That's what we used to call it. Shield the ball, make a pass. Just the fact that this guy is right up your iris means inevitably that you can bypass a player if you just unload the ball quickly, shield it, unload the ball quickly, get somebody to pass forward. So there are ways around that. But yeah, I'm happy to go on about that. I just think it's an obvious failing in the modern game, and I hate it when pundits, ex-pros, very often say, oh, he's been really clever there, the way he's used his body, and it's in the women's game as well, less so, actually, but it is. I think it's a shame. So mixed feelings about Dorgu, but he did have a good game today. Will he get in my side if everybody's fit? Maybe because of that left flank thing, him and Shaw behind him. Shaw probably gets in because he's old school as well. He's tough, and he can play, and he's got a bit of fire. That's an interesting question going forward, actually. On that midfield thing, could have started with this, the whole Mainoo issue. Mainoo, it's just been, again, raw obvious to everybody in the universe, apart from Amorim, and clearly the Scott Personal, that Mainoo is a Manchester United player and should be in this team. I know the thinking has been around, hang on, can you play Mainoo and Bruno in the same team? Of course you can. For me, it worked really well today, actually. Mainoo didn't do all that much, but I think it was good management today, because I'm pretty certain Carrick will have been thinking, okay, he's not done a huge amount, but look at him, he's charging back, he's got to earn his living, I want this guy in the team, so therefore he's going to see out the game, even if he's not that influential. I'm talking about Mainoo, obviously, here. I think that was right, and I think it's right that Mainoo gets in this team. And Bruno was very often very good again today. You know, we've all got mixed feelings about him, but actually he really has carried the club probably very much through thin rather than thick in recent years. But to be fair, he has his energy, commitment. He's a sour-faced little... Am I going to swear in my own podcast? Not yet. Everybody else thinks he's a complete arsehole, don't they? Opposition fans or whatever. And I see that, I get it. Very often I think the same. But he is a class player. And he hits lots of passes that people can only dream about. And he was good today, and he was influential today. Mbeumo, I think, is a decent player, actually, and that's why he's getting quite a lot of games in the front line, even though he's not old school number nine. Interesting to see that he got effectively picked ahead of Sesko today for those sort of strategic reasons, which worked. Unquestionably, Sesko might have also been a handful against this City defence today. So let's face it, this is clearly all at the start of the game. Okay, they were plainly nervous, but they were also manifestly the worst Manchester City defence we've seen for years. They were absolutely shocking, and the work didn't improve all that much, even when Pep made changes at half time, or one change certainly. So. On the one hand, United did great, and the 3-0 did not flatter them. I really don't think it did. But B, Arsenal must be laughing all the way to the metaphorical bank, because City, you just think, they just can't chase down Arsenal, not with a defence like this, surely. They've got everything else going for them, although they didn't show any of it hardly today. But they were just woeful. Some of that, actually, clearly down to Carrick, Woodgate, backroom staff at United, picking holes in City, literally, and, you know, United engineered more space in City's midfield, which is normally obviously overflowing with fullbacks coming in, etc., etc. You know, a box for four at least in central midfield. United found ways of playing briskly and in little triangles to expose, you know, finding Bruno and even maybe Mbeumo dropping in a bit, in some space, knocking the ball off, out wide, and then there were chances. United made more chances today, should have scored more. By the way, Maguire's miss early doors, OMG, staggering for a guy, one of the few who can really head in modern football, and he misses from a yard, incredible. But anyway, coming back to that, the real success for United was that good movement, in and out of midfield, spread, you know, pinging balls in fairly sharply and finding players who had just engineered a bit of space. That was very, very encouraging. And it was kind of exciting to watch. And that is important. Maybe, you know, not just at United, but particularly United fans have been crying out for some joy and some excitement for, what is it, 10 to 12 years, something absolutely mad. And they saw quite a bit of that today, more than you can remember for quite some time. So, lots and lots of positives coming across to City. Some of you will know I've written a couple of books about this stuff. I am a coach, admittedly, in cricket, but I've played footy cricket in particular to a reasonable standard. And I think I love the games, hate to play it sometimes, but love the games and understand the games. And I'm really interested in, and I've done a lot of coach education stuff, or try to inform myself about that universe because it's fascinating. So I've written about Pep, a chapter in one of my books. Maybe go find it. I won't label that right now, maybe. But and he's a fascinating guy, isn't he? Let's again, love him or hate him. Not many people love him, actually. Even not all that many of the City fans, I suspect, in a way, because a little bit like Arteta, although Arteta is maybe even darker as a personality, perhaps hard to get into. He's not very cuddleable, is he? But today was really fascinating, I thought. He's put out two sensational wingers, Dorgu and Semenyo, who are both orthodox wingers in lots of ways. Okay, they both like to cut inside and play 1-2s and blah blah. But they are wide players, and they've both got some magic. And he's got, you know, is there anybody who's more deadly as a sort of old school centre forward? It's not that, I know, but Haaland is a sensation. Haaland got absolutely nothing to attack from either flank. And I absolutely understand the sort of whirling dervishness and the rotation of passing and movement, the City that absolutely defines Pep's City. I get that, and I get that it's worked wonderfully in lots of ways, but today it was crying out for them to nick a goal. And when you've got Haaland in there, why wouldn't you just put one or two in there to give the fella a shout, and or just to keep the United centre-backs on notice? Absolutely staggering that I cannot remember one sniff that he had. So for me, that's quite fascinating. Whatever, are very different levels. Pep has got a kind of coaching fascism thing going on. He does disappear right up his pert little arse quite a lot. He certainly did that somewhat in that particular instance today. I think that was a kind of an obvious one. And also, talking to other people or whatever, it's not just me that feels, I think, that the City rotation, movement, pass, the pass the opposition to death thing, lots of us are finding it a bit dull now, a bit boring. It works when you've got David Silva, who's just magnificent and beautiful to watch. And they've got equivalents. Foden is something of an equivalent, but when they aren't getting the ball or being given the license, really, to charge forward or thread something straight, it just gets into, yeah, it, you are passing across in front of the opposition. And again, I know Pep would say, his argument would be something to the effect that, look, we are just picking our moment. We are picking our moment. And it's all about the quality of the timing of that pass in behind. I get that. But it didn't work today. It didn't happen. And therefore, surely you make some kind of a change or you open up the possibilities. So, anyway, look, that's enough, I think, isn't it, for now? That is enough. I'm gonna stop it there. Thank you, those few of you who will have listened. I will post this, I think, and then I'll decide whenever, whether or not I'm going to get back into a fairly regular universe podcast thing. I am Rick Walton. I am at Sports Laureate on the Twitter still. We could talk about that. I may leave very soon. I'm only on there absolutely under license, you know, on the... I can only justify it at all by saying the first thing on my profile is anti-fascist. I'll leave it there. I'm on there as a protest singer. I am on B Sky B. There I am, Walt Writing, dot, dot, blah, blah, de, blah, de, blah, de, blah. I do have blogs at bowlingatvincent.com, which was the original one, which was sport and then arty stuff alternately. And I have also got sportslaureate.co.uk. Haven't decided which one I'm going to post this one on yet, but maybe check them out. They won't both be around forevermore because I think I've got to streamline some of this stuff. But apologies for that nauseatingly long outro. Thank you again for listening and take care.